the crap comedy. Save it for Channel 5.
Johnny Vaughan is Paul Clark. And in his first attempt at his own comedy series, he's made a big mistake.
I'm Johnny Vaughan, sharp, respected broadcaster. And I put my name to this.
Huge build-up. Huge disappointment.
30 whole minutes. No gags whatsoever.
A BBC Christmas turkey 6 months early.
I'm sorry, this is rubbish.
Terrible. Last night, 9:30, BBC Two.
Crap comedy. Save it for Channel 5.
It's Tuesday. It's 3 o'clock. Now, live from London, Chris Moyles.
Hello, Joanna Lumley here.
Hello.
Chris Moyles on Radio 1. Just lie back and enjoy it, ladies.
Chris Moyles, Comedy Dave, Producer Will and Thin Lizzy.
Producing Chris Moyles.
Sometimes you get some ideas with it.
As they say in Ireland, that music, now you're sucking diesel.
Great records to start the show for today's program, but I thought I'd drop one of them and play Nelly's Country Grammar just to be down on the hip hop vibe. I might start growing my goatee in a trendy way.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because there's a couple of dudes work at Radio 1, right? And they always go around in pairs. They're like the Goatee Brothers. One of them can't grow a goatee, and the other one just grows one way too much. Right? It kind of comes down to his knees.
They look very kind of limp biscuit, don't they?
Well, yeah, limp something. Mm. Anyway, so hello, afternoon. Thanks to the boys. I'm Chris Moyles. Dave is here.
Hello.
And Will.
Hello.
And Lizzie.
Hiya.
And Will and Lizzie have got some kind of problem going on between them today that I'm staying well out of. Who would like to explain what that's all about?
I think I should explain, actually.
Okay, off you go.
Well, Tuesday's training day.
Right.
Okay, now you two officially couldn't make it. You had work to this morning.
Couldn't be asked.
No, we had to rearrange my sock drawer.
Well,
Dave
yeah.
said he'd help me with.
Yeah. Right, okay. So you couldn't come. And so Lizzie was going to come. And then there was a very brief shower of drizzle at about 7:30 this morning.
Right.
Meaning that Lizzie got out of bed and said, I'm not training today. That was it.
That's outrageous.
So then I had to go out training. I did a 30-minute run in the pouring rain. I'm wearing now a t-shirt that I stole from Dave's desk.
Exactly.
Hang on a minute.
And my sweaty pants.
Hang on, you said that there was a short drizzle of rain. How could you have got soaked if it wasn't raining that much?
So I was soaking with sweat after a 30-minute run.
No, Will,
nice
you know
one.
I have a rule.
There we yeah, go. Sorry, Lizzie.
I have a rule.
I can't hear
you. Can you pick her up, Dave? Chris?
I can't. Lizzie, get on the mic if you're going to do that.
We can't seem to be able to pick her up.
No.
Right, out of my way.
Don't think so, Lizzie.
So you wouldn't go out running today because it was... So what, you
I
can't...
I gave him plenty of warning this morning saying that I wasn't going to have a very high attendance rate at training this week. Yeah, plenty of warning. And I don't understand what your problem is.
So you made our trainer drive all the way from her home in Edinburgh to just train Will.
Absolutely.
I think that's very irresponsible of you because yeah. I gave Jane notice, plenty of notice, that I wouldn't be training today.
Well, that's fair enough. But Will was going to go...
She has to change her entire training program if it's just one of us. And to be quite honest, I think because there was a bit of wane, I don't think that excuse is good enough.
I've always made it very clear that if it rains, I don't train.
Really?
And I'm sorry.
For the winter then? So you're not training in the winter then?
And what, if it rains, you don't work? If it rains, what, you have to go and hide under a table?
Okay, I've had a particular...
Oh, no, Lizzie, here comes the rain, Lizzie.
Oh, my God!
Lizzie, it's raining!
You'll have to go and hide under someone's desk. Mikey's.
Yeah.
There's the rain.
Normally.
Oh, it's low. You can't go out in this, Liz. How can you answer the phones in such terrible conditions?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go home.
Oh, hang on. It stopped.
See, I don't understand what your problem is. Every little issue, you have to turn into a personal crusade about something. You just bang on about it forever.
Absolutely.
Explain to our listeners what Ariel is.
Ariel is the internal newspaper / magazine of the BBC.
And in this aerial thing, by the way, that only saddos at the BBC actually read, because you know, it's an internal newspaper.
It's read by people who are waiting for a meeting, right?
Because
it's in reception, so you sit there when you're bored.
It's a nerds magazine, and the headline on the letters page, and one of the letters is "Your Toast," and I shall now read this letter to you.
I think it only polite to draw your attention to a potential flashpoint in the Broadcasting House canteen. Sorry, restaurant. Having already sampled the filet mignon bird's nest soup and duck à l'ange, I opted for a traditional platter of sausage, beans and chips on this fateful day. As I made my way past the groaning shelves of caviar, foie gras and light pastries, I spied another gastronomic delight in the shape of a pile of sesame prawn toast, brackets, a personal favourite. A perfect complement to my meal, I decided. I leaned forward to pluck up two of the golden beauties, but must have tripped some sort of alarm. Two burly serving operatives were upon me, and I was told I wasn't allowed sesame prawn toast because, I quote, it doesn't go. I was required, under a distinctly menacing gaze, I might add, to return the offending deep-fried toasties to the plate from whence they came, baked bean juice and all. Surely if I had chosen to have custard on my cottage pie or cheese on my rhubarb crumble, that's my business. Signed, Will Kinder, Chris Moyle Show producer, Radio 1.
Yes, I'm in print. Yes.
Do you know what is equally as annoying and sad for me is because, one, that you have actually got enough spare time on your hands to be writing pointless letters to a pointless magazine. But the thing that annoys me even more than that is the fact that my bloody name is included on the end of the letter. It's like, not content with being a nerd, you have to then associate yourself with me just to prove that you're nerd worthy.
Do you know how embarrassing this is for us? I mean, this show is at the cutting edge of youth culture.
Yeah.
And then we're associated with you talking about sesame prawn toast.
It's very important to me.
It's so boring.
It's another personal crusade.
Would you like to hear another letter?
No, is there a reply from the catering manager?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Peter Hall, Compass Catering Manager at Broadcasting House, replies, this is the first time this has been brought to our attention. Oh, you're kidding me. Really? What, people have got better things to do than complaining about sesame prawn toast? And I'd like to apologise for the error.
See?
We don't mind what wonderful combinations our customers enjoy.
Thank you.
Has he given you some luncheon vouchers?
Yeah, I want a free lunch.
Yeah, free compensation.
You get free, quote, golden beauties.
Did I get 10 quid star letter or not?
Do you get £10?
Yeah, I think
no,
so.
No, you don't.
You don't, £10 star letter.
No, you don't. I don't think so, anyway. Mm. Well, anyway, no, you haven't. Mm. Your letter is between the oral history series Century Speaks and a letter about pre-packed sandwiches.
Very important, I think.
Your toast.
I didn't even write, I wrote a much better headline than that on my letter.
What was it?
I can't remember, actually.
You put your own headline in?
Suggested headline?
What, in case that Ariel is so overwhelmed with the amount of great letters they get, you thought if you put your own headline on, you might be able to jump to the top of the pile? Here's another letter, right? This is from Paul Fox, Radio News. Can the BBC set aside a room in Television Centre for yoga and meditation? I realise this sounds barking to the unconverted, but I don't want to join a gym or pummel my body with weights. Just a bit of floor space to use during breaks for the best form of exercise and stress reduction invented in the past 2,000 years. Is this a joke? I feel embarrassed when I look at stuff like this. This is Paul Fox from Radio News, who wants a room set aside for yoga and meditation. Now, this is obviously one of your habits, Mr. Fox. Now, if I were to ask Greg Dyke if I could have a room set aside for one of my favourite habits, I would be fired immediately and probably arrested for perversion. Yes, is there any chance I could have a room to go for play with myself for a few moments? Obviously during a break, not at work time. Are you kidding me? Greg Dyke must be so embarrassed of this rag. Greg Dyke wants to save the BBC money. Get rid of this paper! I don't know what's sad, the fact that they make this paper or the people in the BBC write letters to it. Oh, man. Oh, dear. We'd like to know what else is in Ariel. It's in colour, virtually. It's a nice magazine. What else is there?
They've got a job section.
Oh, great.
Anything for Will?
Absolutely.
Nerd needed to write letters to Ariel so it looks like people read it and care.
Lazy BA with big ass needed. She doesn't train anymore.
Lizzie, it's raining. Get out.
Okay, what would it, what kind of job would you like? There's program making? Oh, that's no good for you.
Toast operative.
Tea making for Lizzie.
Miserable get needed to work at Broadcasting House Canteen.
Must be approaching 40.
That's not me then.
Why did you write that letter to the internal BBC?
I thought it'd be funny.
Have you seriously got so much time on your hands?
I came in early today, don't worry. Wasn't in showtime.
Because if you have that much free time, if you have so little to do at work during the day, then I believe there's a place for you in management. Lizzie, it's raining again. The wind is blowing. You'll have to go and hide under somebody's desk upstairs. Oh, the BBC Club is running language classes in French, Spanish, Italian, German, Arabic and Russian, Thai, Japanese and Chinese. There you go. From October the 22nd, taught by native speakers. Well, that's always good, because if you're going to be taught French, you don't want to be taught by somebody who doesn't speak French, do you? Kathleen Smiley, production panel, you, my friend, have too much time on your hands. On page 5 of Ariel's digital speech, there is a photo of the highly acclaimed British actor, Adrian Lester, who was incorrectly named as Richard Lester in the captions. I know it takes a lot of effort to put these magazines together, and sometimes things are missed, but come on. It's even more insulting because he starred in the BBC drama Storm Damage not so long ago. Who cares?
Heard of Storm Damage?
Neither have I. The BBC's huge. How the hell are they going to know who everybody is? Have you got anything else you want to read out?
No, that's it, really. I'm very happy, I must say.
Embarrassing.
I've got a full apology from Peter Hall.
Why don't you ring Peter Hall up and say, look, I'm not happy with your apology. I would like some kind of discount vouchers.
Luncheon
at the BBC
vouchers?
Canteen, yeah.
I should get free toast.
Why don't you take it all the way to the top and not stop your crusade until the person involved is fired? In fact, I quote the two burly serving operatives.
The pie wranglers, you mean?
Graham was just telling us they edited his letter.
Yeah, there were some really good lines that have been taken out.
So it was even longer than that?
Yeah. I was accusing the chef of having the pure responsibility of getting the chips from the serving lift to the safely to its plate on the counter.
Wow. Anyway, there you go. I'm sure Greg Dyke is sitting in his office now, sitting back in his expensive chair, which no doubt will be broken in a few weeks, and will be going, I'm glad that Mr. Kinder is happy now.
Another satisfied customer.
Yeah, exactly. Do they listen to us in the Broadcasting House canteen?
Not anymore.
No, I'm not, because they'll be spitting on my
kids. One of the burly food operatives has switched the radio off. You can't listen to that if you're eating shepherd's pie. It just doesn't go. Oh, dear. Right then. Hey, Lizzie.
Yeah?
Mind the rain.
Mind your hair, love.
Oh, you can't. Oh, I can't go out in this. Oh, I might get wet. Oh, no. Look at the rain.
It's a valid reason.
You lazy cow. Right, we're going to do this phone-in feature then that we're going to do yesterday.
Yeah.
I fancy my boyfriend's brother. Last Monday, we did I fancy my girlfriend's sister, and it had an amazing response. Obviously, it was a kind of bloke feature. So we thought it was only fair to do girls. Girls get their own back. So open to our female audience today. Today's topic is I fancy my boyfriend's brother. Now, don't get this confused with I fancy my boyfriend's dad. We'll have to do that on another day.
That's a different one altogether.
Yeah. My girlfriend fancies my dad.
Whose dad?
My dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Blimey.
I know, scary, isn't it? I don't know. Mind you, I'm kind of thinking, you know, I might let him have her.
Well, less hassle.
Yeah, well, I'm bored. I'll move on to somebody else. Only joking. I wouldn't do that to you.
Dad. Right, 0800 100 100 0800 100 100 100. And we're serious about this. We genuinely wanted to do it, right? Because last week the boys gave the girls a bit of a grilling, and it's only fair to get your own back. And don't lie, I want the truth. Do you have the balls to come on this show? Well, obviously you don't, because you're girls. But do you have the guts to come on Radio 1 and admit that you fancy your boyfriend's brother? 0800 100 100 100.
Okay, this is the plan.
We take one of your most treasured possessions.
Your entire CD collection, maybe.
I can sing the words to every song on every one of these.
Or that signed photo of your favourite pop star.
Ricky's my favouritist.
If you lose the game of Risk,
it's bye-bye treasure tune.
See ya, pop star pal.
Saturday mornings are about to change forever.
The Saturday Show is coming.
I'm Danny Bear.
I'm Joe Mace. And you asked for it.
The Saturday Show, 9 till 12 on BBC One.
From this Saturday,
you asked for it.
And we're meant to be going out with Danny and Joe, taking down on their last night of freedom, the last night of being an adult before they become kids TV presenters.
Sorted.
Really? When?
Tomorrow night.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Well, you're taking them out in the Raz for the last time ever. Weetest and Teenage Dirtbag. So what's the deal then with Danny Bear and this, the other guy?
Okay, the
what's
coming
name?
Joe Mace.
Joe Mace.
Joe Mace.
Joe Face.
Joe Mace.
Joe Mace.
They're coming on the show tomorrow as guests about 5 o'clock.
Right.
Going to stay with us for an hour till, you know, just before six, then off down the pub with them. Then on Thursday, they're going to phone in and tell us what they thought of our big night out.
Oh, fantastic. The idea was, it's like a stag night, it's like a hen night, it's the last night of adulthood before they become Phillip Schofield and Sarah Green. But not necessarily in that order.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, obviously.
So Danny Bear and Joe Mace on tomorrow, and then we take them out on the Raz tomorrow night. What are we going to take? Why would you take them to Stringies?
No.
Oh, why don't we
take Danny Bear to Stringies?
Oh, you must be joking.
It's embarrassing, because you've got your own table there, she'll see all that stuff.
Why do we need to go to Stringies when we've got Danny Bear with us?
Because I think if we turn around and go, tell you what, love, here's 20 quid, you fancy dropping down to your knick-knicks, I think she'll slap you in the face and tell you to bugger off. Joe will probably do it, though.
Worth a try.
Yeah, oh, well, that'd be good, then. The stars of the new Saturday Show on tomorrow, then. Radio 1. I really like that record. That is just ace. And the story that I heard about it is that Joe Harland, who's Joe Wiley's producer, if you like the record, you got him to thank for it, I believe. He had to stand on a chair in the playlist meeting and shout until everybody listened to it.
He's a very important voice in that meeting, I've heard.
Well, anybody who stands on a chair is an important voice in that meeting.
Radio 1.
Anyway, it's Jean-Jacques Smoothie and two people. Right, coming up, even Gwen Stefani, Michael Jackson, after Dominic with the news, it's 3:30.
America remembers the terrorist victims a week on.
Radio 1 News Beat.
Thousands of people have observed a minute silence exactly 7 days since terrorists flew three airlines into buildings in New York and Washington. President Bush is expected to speak on American TV again later. Over 5,000 people are still missing. Police on both sides of the Atlantic are investigating a string of racist attacks following last week's atrocities. The FBI is looking into a gas grenade explosion at an Islamic center in Chicago and two murders. In the UK, an Asian woman's been attacked with a baseball bat and mosques have been attacked. One of them is in Manchester. Martin Pagels from the City Council.
There are concerns, as we've seen both in Manchester and around the world, that different parts of our community do feel under threat, and it's our duty to make it clear that we stand together as one community. In Manchester.
In New York, some Muslim people have stopped wearing traditional dress in case they're attacked. Suha says she can't believe her friends need to disguise themselves.
Just very unbelievable. Someone, you know, having to change their beliefs, their ideas, because of one or a group of really terrible people.
The United Nations says 1 million refugees could flee Afghanistan if America attacks. People are already leaving their homes in the thousands. The UN's refugee agency says Pakistan's warned them to prepare for 2 million refugees. In other news, the government's going to send undercover inspectors to garages across the UK to check whether they're ripping off customers. The Mystery Shopping Project is the biggest ever consumer drive of its kind. And Chris Sutton's flying out to join Celtic in Turin for their first ever Champions League match. He stayed behind to be with his wife, who's now had their baby. Manager Martin O'Neill says the game against Juventus is a major landmark.
There's always plenty of expectation around Celtic. I think some of the more realists of us all would suggest that we're doing not too badly.
badly, but this is a massive test for us.
Radio 1 Newsbeat, we're back at 4:30.
Scattered showers in the far north of Scotland. Far north of Scotland?
Really?
We've got to get a new tape of your bloopers, by the way. Mickey said that he's going to give me one, but he's not going to pass me the tape until it's reached 999 cock-ups, which he says is any day now.
Oh, dear. There are too many to count, which is unfortunate. And it's always the weather as well. There's always weather trouble. Scattered showers in the far north of Scotland. Far north of Scotland? What does that mean?
It's still a classic.
My favourite was trying to speak Thai or whatever I was doing.
Thai?
Yeah.
Pengua Kumbao.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is good. Cantonese for apple crumble.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Which I've impressed, you know, friends with.
Let me hear it then, Dominic.
Pengua Kumbao.
You still say it like Nicky Campbell, though. Nicky Campbell.
Maybe Nicky Campbell is Scottish for apple crumble.
Maybe, absolutely. Maybe it's like Nicky Crumble.
Anyway, so we're doing I Fancy My Boyfriend's Brother today.
Yeah, I know, I heard. That's
thank
good.
You. We're gonna
you,
be...
Dominic?
I don't fancy my boyfriend's brother, no.
No.
Really?
You're married, though.
Yeah, I am, yeah. It's true.
Do you have a brother?
I don't have a brother or a sister.
No. Oh.
Only child.
I'm an only child.
Oh,
and everyone says that as well. Everyone goes,
oh. Not that it makes any difference anyway, because if you did have brothers and sisters, they'd probably hate you like the rest of us.
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
But we're also going to do, I've got sent a CD from a guy called Mark Fingers Broom from Watford.
He sounds straight out.
He's fingers on the mix, on the Dexter. You see what he says?
I do.
Yeah, because he does his mix, his scratching. And he's doing a remix of...
Piper.
remix of Pied Piper. And we're going to play it later.
Oh, yeah, that's said.
Mark Fingers Broom.
Top head sorted.
I must apologise. Dear Ariel, I do not like it when the trained BBC news person jokes with Chris Moyles on the air. I believe it belittles the news. Yours sincerely, somebody with way too much time on their hands. Anyway, we will play it later. Would you like to do a little sneak preview?
Yeah, go on.
There you go. Oh, thanks,
Roger.
Thank you. Right, 08700, 100, 100, we're going to do a course. We'll start taking the first call in about 10, 15 minutes, because I'm hoping it's going to be full. I Fancy My Boyfriend's Brother. Call now.
Drop your glasses.
Michael Jackson on Radio 1, you rock my world.
Aye. Thanks.
I don't... No, you don't rock my world. 08700, 100, 100, we're doing I Fancy My Boyfriend's Brother today. So if you fancy your boyfriend's brother... You can be anonymous if you want, you don't have to give us your name, but it's got to be the truth. Remember, we can smell a lie like a fart in a crowded car. 08700, 100, 100, do you have the guts to come on the air and admit that you secretly fancy your boyfriend's brother? Call now. Right, so this letter comes in, it came in the other day. Dear Chris, please find enclosed the Do You Really Like It remix CD. I'd be very grateful if you would play this on your show, as I think it would please your viewers immensely if they were to hear some blah, 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 whatever it is. I don't want to give the game away. And in a new and improved style. Also enclosed is a pound, which you can keep, but only if you play the CD on the air. P.S. If you don't play my mix, can you send my pound back? Cheers.
All right. Fair enough.
I think so. And it's all right. You know what I mean?
Is it like a reinterpretation of the record, or
yes.
Is it? Okay.
Well, it's I've had to chop it slightly because it goes on for ages, right?
Do you really like it? Is it wicked?
We're loving it, loving it's the Pied Piper one, right?
We're loving it like this. Do you really like it? Is it wicked? We're loving it, loving it, loving it. We're loving right. It like that.
And it goes on for ages,
really
right?
Like is it wicked?
So I've had to, hope you don't mind, Mark Fingers Broom, but I've had to slightly chop it a little bit just to kind of shorten it, right? But I think you two will appreciate this. I'm sorry, that's my pacemaker kicking in. You ready?
Go.
Do you really like it? Is it wicked? We're loving it, loving it, loving it. We're loving it like this. Do you really like it? Is
shall
it,
I tell you what remix
wicked?
It is?
We're loving it, loving it, loving
it's a Cockney
it.
Nizza remix.
Like that. Do you really like it? Is it wicked? We're loving it, loving it, loving it. We're loving
used to do little songs like this years ago. He used to do Cockney remixes of stuff. So this kind of takes me back to my youth. It's like being an East End blueser. DJ Melody Shark EP, unknown to make you rock. Sing, we come to sing. Jenna Deals, Table 4. DJ Melody Shark EP, unknown to make you rock. There you go, very nice. Sing, we come to sing. And dance till we drop. Mark Fingers Broom.
Comedy Cockneys.
Yeah. Knees up Mother Brown and all that malarkey.
Straight up.
You know it. Up the apples and pears. Right, lovely. It's 4:15. This is the excellent single from Sum 41. I love that. Ba-dum, ba-dum. Sum 41 and Fat Lip. And I saw the video of that the other week, and you look at them and you go, what a bunch of pillocks.
Makes you feel old, doesn't it?
First time I ever there was a time when I really liked a record because I thought it was really fun, cool, ironic, blah blah blah, and then I saw them on Top of the Pops, and it was that Nelly the Elephant record. Do you remember that? Yeah. And I saw them on Top of the Pops, just wanted to smack every single one of them in their face. But certain bands should never be seen. They sound great, and then you see them, and you're just very disappointed. You know.
Wise words.
Thank you very much. But it's a great record. Sum 41, Fat Lip. Right. 08700 100 100. It's time to do some calls on the subject title, I Fancy My Boyfriend's Brother. We'll do the first one in just a bit.
This October, Radio 1 presents a week of live music, gigs and club nights, all live in Birmingham.
Join me, Steve Lamack and John Peel for a week of the best live music, including The Charlatans, Star Solar, Richie Horton, Hefner, Pulp, Weezer and Basement Jacks, all live in Birmingham and all live on Radio 1. For all the details of Radio 1's massive week of live music, call the concert line on 08700 100 100 or go online at www.bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
One live in Birmingham on Radio 1.
October 26th to November 1st. All week, all live, and all on Radio 1. Radio
1. 21 seconds before we get to go. I could be a rapper.
Romeo Dunn.
Huh?
Romeo Dunn.
Romeo Dunn, you crazy mother hubbard. So this is the feature that... who came up with this? No, it was by accident, wasn't it? That we came up with this subject matter. Because we thought it was funny to do I Fancy My Girlfriend's Sister. And we got loads of girls phoning and emailing saying, screw that, I fancy my boyfriend's brother. Mm. So we want to know if the girls there have got the guts to phone up and admit that they do fancy their boyfriend's brother. You don't have a brother, do you, Dave?
No.
But you do, though, don't you, Greg?
I do, yeah.
Does your girlfriend fancy your brother, do you reckon?
I don't know. She might do. He's a good-looking guy.
Really? My girlfriend doesn't fancy my brother.
You sure?
Really?
Yeah.
How can you be positive?
Because she's got dodgy taste. She hasn't got terrible taste, right? It's that simple.
They might be having a secret, you know, tete-a-tete behind your back.
She's been around his place today.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because he's sick.
Allegedly.
How sick is he?
He's in bed with...
No.
He's in bed with our last. Wahey! All right, so let's do it then. Let's get the phones then. Line one, hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Jenny.
Yeah. Okay, you are today's first contestant on I Fancy My Boyfriend's Brother.
Yeah.
Which means, tell me what your problem is.
Well, it was a long, long time ago, I must admit, but I actually was really naughty and slept with my boyfriend's brother.
You slept with him?
Blimey.
More than once! Hey! Girl power! You harlot, a strumpet and tart.
It was 10 years ago.
That doesn't matter. So how long were you going out with your boyfriend for before you slept with his brother?
About 8 or 9 months.
8 or 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you continue going out with your boyfriend after you'd slept with his brother?
I'd say perhaps another 6 months.
And were you still sleeping with your boyfriend's brother at the same time?
Occasionally.
Oh!
Good skill.
You little strumpet.
And did it, did no, it, I'm a good girl now.
Did it ever come out? Did your boyfriend ever find out?
No.
Not at all?
No, not at all. I had a sneaky suspicion one of his parents knew, but...
Did you didn't sleep with his dad as well, though?
No.
No. That would have been out of order?
Yeah.
Right, of course.
It was out of order in the first place, but I was young and stupid.
All right, so let me ask you this. You're going out with your boyfriend. Yeah, you slept with your boyfriend. You slept with your boyfriend's brother. Out of the pair of them, who was the best?
Very, very different. It was very different.
But
one was intimate, one was naughty and... It was. You couldn't compare because it was just. It was naughty and excitement was there in one. And
I can't believe she's even answering the question. So your boyfriend's brother was better in bed, right? That's all right. You've admitted that. Thank you very much. I think it's very, very honest of you. And now are you
glowing? I'm absolutely glowing.
Yeah, I bet you were glowing the night you were out with your boyfriend's brother. So are you in a new relationship now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you married?
No.
No, you're going out with a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, has he got a brother?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Do you fancy him?
No, not at all. No, I'm very, very, very happy. And
you fancy his dad?
I for one.
Do you fancy his dad?
No.
Best mate?
No.
No, yeah, I bet you cheat.
I don't, honestly.
Yeah, I bet you will.
That's a terrible thing to say. I don't do it anymore.
What do you want to mean? That's a terrible thing to say. You slept with your boyfriend's brother. And you're having a go at me, you harlot. Thanks very much, and I'm glad that you've now moved on and seen the error of your ways.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is what we want. We want more calls like this. 08700 100 100.
Honesty is the best medicine.
Absolutely, and also great entertainment on the radio. 08700 100 100 if you fancy your boyfriend's brother. Madonna and Don't Tell Me at Radio 1 before that, Shaggy, Love Me, Love Me. So today's topic is I fancy my boyfriend's brother. Line 2, hello.
Hello.
Hello, who are you?
My name's Sarah.
Is that your real name or is that a code name?
No, it's a code name. I can't give my real name.
Okay, what's your problem, Sarah?
No problem. It's just I really, really, really fancy my boyfriend's brother.
Really?
Absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
How long have you been out with your boyfriend for?
Oh, about a year.
A year?
Not too long.
Did you fancy your boyfriend's brother before you started going out with your boyfriend?
I didn't meet him before. I've only met him about 6 months ago. He was away, so I've only met him about 6 months
and
ago.
And straight away you fancied him?
Yes.
Okay. Have you snogged him yet?
Do I have to say? It doesn't matter. Yes, I have.
Yeah! Go on, baby! Have you slept with him?
I will do.
And they say that blokes are sexist cheating pigs.
Oh, well, you know, why can't girls be as well?
Well, I think girls are worse. And since we've been proving this today. Does your boyfriend know that you fancy his brother?
No.
No.
I hope he didn't find out either.
Well, I'm sure he won't find out. You know, it's not like you're on national radio.
No chance of that. No, of course he isn't.
No. Okay, so you've had a snog with your boyfriend's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Has he got a girlfriend?
I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. I've never asked him that question.
Yeah, you don't care, right?
Not really.
Yeah, because when you're a tart, why do you care if they're seeing anybody else?
Thanks.
but she's a tart with a heart.
Yeah.
That's right, a tart with a heart.
Yeah. Tart with baggy knickers. Okay, so
I should slap you for that.
You can probably sleep with me. So what are you going to do if your boyfriend finds out you've been playing away with his brother?
No. I doubt anything will really happen. You know,
you'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's not, you know.
It's not like he hasn't done it.
Well, has your boyfriend snogged your sister?
I haven't got a sister, but I'm sure he's probably...
Have you got a brother?
I have, yeah.
Well, okay. Well, it's not
my brother, though.
Oh, okay. Well, you never know. Well, listen, good on you. Are you going to keep doing this, or are you going to see the error of your ways, or what?
Oh, we'll see. We shall see. Only time will tell.
I must admit, you don't seem really scared about it.
I'm not.
There you go.
Look, why should I be scared?
She's a proud, proud harlot.
We should get her on the show.
Yeah.
You want to get me on the show, that's
the
right.
Official hussy of the Chris Moyle show. All right, nice one, whatever you say your name was.
Yeah, Sarah.
All right, Sarah, whatever. All right, nice one, Sarah, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, this is great. 08700 100 100 if you fancy your brother's... Excuse me. Fancy your boyfriend's brother. If you do fancy your brother's boyfriend...
That's a different phone in altogether.
Yeah, that'll be next Tuesday. That's Super Furry Animals and Rings Around the Bath. This is Radio 1, and now here's Grey Ed.
Hello, Chris. What would you like me to do here?
I'd like you to tell the nation about writing letters to get them published in internal magazines.
Ah, right, okay. What you do is you get your little word processor document.
Right, we'll do another phone call from another girl who fancies their boyfriend's brother in a minute.
One. Have you noticed there are strange things going on at Radio 1? On Saturday's breakfast show, you get...
Emma B. So if anybody can tell us what the specifics are of a triathlon, just be interesting to find out. But these guys are... fit is not the word.
On Sunday's breakfast show, you get...
Sarah HB.
Morning to Eric, Kate, Sam, Jenny and Kerry in Arizona, tuning into Radio 1.
And then, spookily enough, on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday's breakfast show, you get... Coxie.
It is Radio 1. We will be continuing II Caption all this morning.
Now, hey, it's probably just me, but I think there's a link here. From this Saturday, 7 days of breakfast on Radio 1.
7 till 10 a.m.
With the girls.
Seven, what are the chances of that happening, eh?
Radio 1. I don't understand. Am I the only one in the building? Hey, no, I'm Jamie Thingston. Now, I think there's a bit of a link here, right? Namone, Sarah HB, Coxie, whatever. Oh, no, 7 days of ladies on the breakfast show. It's always been like that. It's been like that for over a year. There's a new lineup on Radio 1. Emma B will be doing the Saturday breakfast show. And with Sarah HB doing the Sunday breakfast show and Coxie doing the Monday to Friday breakfast show, oh, my God, that's 7 days of the breakfast show presented by a woman. But Namone was doing Saturday morning, Sarah HP was doing Sunday, and Coxie was doing during the week for the past 12 months. So where's the revelation? Are they trying to say that Emma B is more of a woman than Namone? Do you know what I mean?
I don't understand.
And, I'm Jamie Thingston. Oh, scratchy beard. I think I've just worked something out. 7 days of Women on the Breakfast Show on Radio 1. And nothing has changed! We advertised this a year ago. Hi, I'm Namone. Hi, I'm Sarah HB. Hi, I'm Sarah Cox. Every morning on Radio 1, a different girl to do the breakfast show. That's what they'd advertise. Will, please tell me I'm not going mad.
No, I think you're right.
I'm absolutely right. So where has this come from?
I think it's just a device to re-advertise the new female breakfast shows. Yeah.
Same old stuff, just at a slightly different time. This weekend on Radio 1. Is that what it is?
I think you just saw because you're not on anymore.
I think, and I'm not at all, I must be joking, I'm pleased I've got my weekends off. I'm thinking to myself, that's somebody putting out a press release who has gone, oh, that means there's a girl on every morning on Radio 1. That's the angle we'll take. And they don't realise that's what we're doing anyway.
Yeah.
I can't sit back and just ignore this like nothing happens. If you listen to Coxie every morning at 9 o'clock, and you listen to Namone on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, and you listen to Sarah HB on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, that is the woman on the radio every morning at 9 o'clock. Oh, no, but don't worry. Ha, Chris, we caught you out there because we're replacing Namone with Emma B, which means there'll be a girl on every morning at 9... No, I know, it's exactly the same! Oh, I think there's a link. Radio 1 disc jockeys play records. Oh, my God. So that's records played every day on Radio 1. Revolutionary broadcasting from the BBC. Now, shove it up your ass. Roger Sanchez. Can't believe it. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it now. Will Kinder, Chris Moyle Show producer, Radio 1. Why? What on earth possessed you to put my name on that?
It's my job title. That's what you have to put.
No, producer, Radio 1.
No, producer of your show. I'm very proud of it. Surprisingly. Oh. I'm very happy with my response. Peter Hall, the head of catering, was forced to respond to my complaint. Dave knew how upset I was. He was there when it happened.
For those of you who just switched on, if you haven't heard this, right at the beginning of the show, there's an internal BBC newspaper magazine, which is called Ariel.
Do you get it? Ariel.
And in the letters page, Will, because he has nothing better to do, wrote a letter to them, moaning about the fact that recently in the Broadcasting House canteen, he wasn't allowed to have some sesame prawn toast with his sausage, beans and chips. And he's written this very worded letter. Unbelievable. Go on, what are you looking at?
I was just going to say, I think it's interesting the fact that Ariel is not spelled as in a TV Ariel, but as in like the washing powder.
spell Ariel as in TV Ariel?
A-E-R-I-E-L.
And the washing powder?
A-R-I-E-L.
And the free newspaper from the BBC?
A-R-I-E-L.
Wow. So, doesn't that tantamount to advertising?
Well, I don't know, which is not allowed within the BBC.
Oh, no.
And also, another interesting thing is the publication Ariel is in colour. So is that kind of, a cryptid advertisement?
Cryptid?
Encrypted? Cryptic advertisement for Ariel colour, which is a washing up powder too.
I think Ariel's a Greek god, I might be mistaken.
That was Zeus.
Now, there's many others, Dave. It's probably the Greek god of communication or something.
It just, right, I defend the BBC all the time, right? I take the mickey out of it on the air because that's my job, right? Is to, you know, if there's something really stupid, I'll take the mickey out of it. I believe there was a report in the paper this weekend. My old man was telling me on the phone that the BBC, it's like every time the newspapers find out about the BBC spending money, they hate it. And it was something like, the BBC have forked out over £200,000 on hotels for the Commonwealth Games in Manchester, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, so what? Seriously, what's the big deal? They're putting money into the show. What's your gripe? If they were using it to go out on the lash, fair enough. But if people are going to be up there filming it, you know, you sound guys, film guys, producers, researchers, presenters, right? They've got to stay somewhere. So I don't understand what your problem is. What are you two doing?
Look.
No, don't.
No, he's just screwed that whole link up. Because TV Ariel is spelt like that.
I didn't screw it up. I was still closer than you two idiots.
I didn't spell anything, Dave.
Well.
So hang on, what's that email saying? Explain to the listeners now that I'm in the middle of another rant.
What? Well, basically, I was saying that TV Ariel, right, is not spelt like Ariel, the BBC magazine.
Yes.
TV Ariel is spelt A-E-R-I-E-L, which is what I said.
Right.
But in fact, that's not correct at all. It's A-E-R-I-A-L.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. Anyway, as I was saying about defending the BBC, before I'm about to launch into a big slagging off of the BBC.
Yeah.
But I defend the BBC. I think the BBC is great value for money. I really do. I genuinely, absolutely, 100% do. For every licence fee that somebody goes out and buys, colour licence fee, Will, how much money does Radio 1 get from that?
Do you know what? I can't remember.
But it's nothing, isn't it?
No, it's pence.
It's like, it's like a pound or something at the most.
Yeah, I really don't know, but yeah.
And so from that £1, we give that person who bought that licence fee, right, 365 days of Radio 1. No commercials, live events, live concerts, contest giveaways, the best DJs money can buy, and great music. Okay, well, 4 out of 6 ain't bad. So anyway, I'm always defending the BBC. So I look at this this internal newspaper. This is from Andy Young, Technical Services, as a letter. Why has the deli-style sandwich service been removed in the green tea bar?
What?
This was the only place in Television Centre where I could get a freshly made roll with my choice of fillings. It has been replaced with a standard boring choice of ready-made rolls, a poor replacement of the previous service. Why have they messed around with a service that, judging by the queues at lunchtime, was very popular? And they've replied. They've actually replied.
Julian Frizz? Who's Julian Frizz?
The queues at lunchtime were part of the problem. Feedback we got from people using the deli bar was that they had to wait far too long for their lunchtime sandwiches. So we are pleased that Compass has addressed this. They introduced the upper crust baguettes in the green tea bar after a successful trial alongside the previous deli service.
You can get a made-to-order baguette from the deli bar on the second floor of the East Tower.
Yeah, there you go. If you really want your sandwiches that much, lazy boy, run up a flight of stairs, you fat pig! Oh, it makes me laugh. Right, I want to wrap up this I fancy my boyfriend's brother thing. We've got one person who's been hanging on for a dog's age. Hang on a second. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, who are you?
I'm Becky.
Is that your real name or a code name?
It's my real name.
Okay, so what's your problem then, Becky?
Well, I'm stuck in a bit of a dilemma at the moment. I'm going out with one brother, and he happens to have a twin brother who I want to be going out with.
Now, have you snogged this twin brother?
I have. I've done nothing else yet.
Right.
Not for want of trying.
You've been trying.
But I'm stuck with one who I'm really not getting on with, and I would like to move to the other.
Yeah!
Just swap them over.
Well, yeah, technically that would be quite good. Yeah. It would be quite good for them both.
How long have you been going out with the boyfriend for?
About 8 months now.
8 months, and how long have you fancied his brother for?
About 3 months since I've met him, really.
Okay.
I mean, it's quite a healthy attraction, because they do look very similar, so I don't know whether he would accept it as a compliment or not.
I mean, knowing blokes as well as I do, I say the answer to that would be no.
Probably.
Yeah, I really do. So, but you're having trouble with your boyfriend, so you've already snogged your boyfriend's brother.
Yeah. I was drunk at the time, if that excuses it.
Well, I don't think our lass would let me get away with that.
Okay.
I know I snogged your brother, but I was drunk. I don't think she'd let me off with that. But anyway, she doesn't even have a brother. So what are you going to do? What's your plan?
I don't know, but maybe you're giving me some advice.
Yep, I say just see both of them on the sly from the other one.
Yeah, that was my conclusion as well.
And then see which one works out the best.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and then keep one that...
Exactly, keep the best one. There you go, Becky, is that all right?
That's wonderful, thank you for your advice.
No problems, call me Dr. Love.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you go, I think we've sorted out the female population.
Because her friends wouldn't even know that she was having an affair, because they both look the same.
Exactly, there you go. Bread and butter, or whatever the phrase is. City High and What Would You Do at Radio 1. You know the bit where it goes into the... Hold up. Right, we always went into the sound effects of a horse going there, right? Because it sounds like it's doing... sadly, the only horse sound effect I can get doesn't fit at all, right? And if I was going to play, I was going to play it in, but it wouldn't have been right. It would have sounded like this.
Hold up.
It doesn't work.
It's not what we're after, is it?
No, no. Yeah. Hold up. Doesn't work, does it?
No.
Okay.
Radio 1.
Anyway, City High, What Would You Do? Nelly Furtado and Liberty coming up. Is Dominic and Philip with News and Sport, 4:30.
Charities warn a military strike could put millions of Afghans at risk.
And in sport, UEFA do a U-turn over Rangers Cup time.
Radio 1 News Means Speed.
Thousands of people are fleeing their homes in Afghanistan in case there's armed action after the terrorist attacks in the US. Relief workers fear 5 million people face starvation in the country after 3 years of drought. And Pakistan is warning the United Nations up to 2 million could try to cross the Afghan borders to escape. Chris Buckley's from Christian Aid. He says they'll be serious.
I was there just 2 weeks ago. I went to many camps in the West, and thousands of people had come from the rural areas with nothing but what they could carry. They had no food. We're extremely concerned about thousands, possibly even millions of innocent Afghans.
In New York, mourners have observed another minute silence exactly 1 week after the terrorist strikes. Rajesh Mittal is a doctor at Brooklyn Hospital. He says it's been a very harrowing 7 days.
Well, the very first patient that I saw, she made it over the Brooklyn Bridge, came to my emergency department and asked if we could give her medication to help stop the people from jumping in her mind. But I can't believe a week's gone by and people are still having the hope that they have.
Here, airline bosses have talked to ministers about the knock-on effect for flight operators. The government's promised to help them as much as possible to cope with the crisis. Sir Michael Bishop from British Midland says it's just hard to see what'll happen next.
Because this is a continuing series of events, we don't know what the final outturn will be of everything that's going on at the moment. It's impossible to say what period of time we may be looking at to see the normal recovery of business.
In other news, police say they found the bodies of a mother and an 11-year-old son at the foot of a countryside bridge in County Durham. Police say they're treating 38-year-old Helen Rogan's death at Gilbridge near Moorside as suicide. They described her as a devoted mother to her son Mark. And British movie production could face a winter crisis after the Actors Union Equity told its members to boycott films in the UK. It's because of a row over bonuses. They're telling big screen stars to refuse any work which starts from December the 1st.
After saying that Rangers would have to play their European tie against the Russian side Angie in Dagestan, UEFA have changed their minds and the game will now take place at a neutral venue. Rangers were against the trip given the problems in neighbouring Chechnya. UEFA spokesman Mike Lee.
The situation has deteriorated and Rangers have lost their insurance cover, and we're not going to be inflexible about it. It's a sensible conclusion that we've reached.
And the tie will now be a one-off match on September the 27th. A setback for Arsenal in England. Central defender Sol Campbell has pulled a hamstring and he's likely to be out of action for 3 weeks. It means he'll probably miss England's last World Cup qualifier against Greece. In the Champions League, Manchester United play the French side Lille at Old Trafford tonight. Not the best-known opposition, but United boss boss Alex Ferguson is a fan.
Teamwork and their team spirit and their organisation, a big strong athletic team, I think they've done fantastically well.
Celtic seem to have a much tougher task. They're away to Juventus. I'm Philip Studd.
Mostly dry in Scotland and the west of England, but it'll be windy wet in the east. We'll update the news and the sport at 5 o'clock.
What's going on in there?
Don't know, some weird horses made an appearance.
Is that in the studio?
An appearance.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Oh, there he is. Moving around left to right, was he?
Of course it's
a horse, does it?
What?
Doesn't even sound like a horse. What sort of horse it sounds like that? Apart from that one.
It is a horse. Do you know which horse it is?
No. Is it Champion Wonder Horse?
I'm Mr. Red.
Ask your parents.
Get referenced.
Oh dear.
That was that famous TV programme from the 1800s.
It was about a talking horse called Mr. Red. And Mr. Red used to go,
"Hello, I'm Mr. Red."
But it's so old, it was always in black and white, wasn't it?
How are you, Philip?
I'm very well, thank you.
Very good. Are Leeds playing Thursday? I think they are, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Can't remember.
It's got him stumped.
He's great, isn't he?
Mm. You'll have to ask me Thursday, I'm afraid.
I'll ask the horse. Horsey, do you know if Leeds are playing on Thursday? Oh, he says yes.
Yeah.
Would you like to ask the horse anything? It's what we... It's news horse. News and sport horse. Info horse. The horse that knows everything.
Will there be any tube delays, Mr. Horse, this evening? Oh, you're joking.
Oh, straight up.
Oh, straight up.
Strike a light.
I'm going to have to get a cave.
Philip, would you like to ask the info horse anything?
Tell me, Mr. Horse, do you think Spurs will ever win the league?
That's a no. Dominic?
Idiot.
Hello, Mr. Horse. This is great. This is what I'm trained for.
Oh.
What was that?
He was saying ho. I've been laughing when you was. No, you said hello to him, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, should I do that again?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Hello, Mr. Horse.
Hello.
Oh, dear. Oh, the little things. Oh, they're very funny.
Oh, dear. We're the only thing on Radio 1 right now. It's a talking horse.
Hello.
What's your name?
I'm Mr. Ray.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, dear.
Dave, or would you like to ask the horse anything, or should we just move on?
Dave or anyone?
Move on, I think.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Lovely, thanks.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
And thinking it over. Now the failed pop stars, aren't they? Yeah.
Flop stars.
The flop stars. Thinking it over. Not a bad song, though. It's alright. Nelly Furtado for that and the brilliant Turn Off the Light. Hello, I'm Chris Moyles. I have a thing before I forget. I best do this now. This is a picture to make you laugh.
Okay.
In the paper today. Okay.
Mm.
I don't know if you've seen it already. You probably have done. But I just think it'll make you laugh because it's just your dream picture that you've seen in. There's been different versions of it, what seem like hundreds, okay? I just know it'll make you laugh, okay? You ready? Ta-da! Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's another one. Ta-da!
Isn't it about time, though, she stopped doing that?
The only... do you know, I believe that Fleet Street are now offering £1,000 reward if you can get a photograph of Carol Smiley without a load of money in her hands.
Fan of money.
It's a very rare photograph to get, I believe. And I don't know if she sticks all those £20 notes together herself. How does she do it? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Every picture of Carol Smiley, there she is, smiling with loads of money. As if to go, I'm so rich. Anyway, it's bonkers, isn't it?
And also we want to do one of our new features. When we're having a brainstorm, on-air brainstorm a few weeks ago, somebody phoned up with the idea of a feature called Describe the Person in the Car Next to You. So this is if you're stuck in traffic, right? And maybe there's a fit bloke next to you, a fit woman next to you, somebody picking the nose. Simply, we just want you to phone up and we're going to put you on the air and you have to describe the person in the car next to you and see if at all they are listening. And if they are, how long it takes for them to realise that the person in the car next to them is talking about them. It may not work, but who cares? It fills a link. So if you want to do that, 08700 100 100, especially if you're going to be stuck in traffic, 08700 100 100 to describe the person in the car next to you. And we've come up with a name for the feature, haven't we, Dave? It's called Describe the Person in the Car Next to You. Do you like that?
I like that.
Have you fixed it yet?
Yes.
Have you?
Yeah.
I just dropped my phone on the floor.
It was a bit bent. You might have to get a new cover.
Do you remember me on the air moaning a few months ago how Nokia would not let me buy one of their phones, right? Mm. I wanted to buy a new phone and they wouldn't let me buy one because either I was on the wrong with the wrong phone network or I wasn't a customer for over a year or... And you see everybody walking around with phones and I just wanted a new phone.
Mm.
And I couldn't get one. I really, really couldn't get the phone I wanted. So the other week, I went to a certain shop that offers impartial advice. It's like a warehouse of car phones.
Right, okay.
And I said to the woman, I'm really interested in this phone. And she goes, right, there you go, yeah, there are the details. Are you going to trade a phone in? No, I just want a new phone to put my SIM card into it and have a new phone. And I'm going to keep this one as a spare, right?
Mm.
Have you, who are you with? I have no idea. Blah, 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 blah. She makes a phone call, she comes back, she goes, you can buy that phone from us, it'll be £200. No, oh, I see offers in the paper all the time. £199, £299, £200,
free.
Right? Free, yeah. But for me to keep my number and all that, blah, 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 the deal is £200. But I can't buy it today, I can only buy it from next week. When the people who I'm with are then taken over by this people, and it's too complicated. So I'm like, whatever. So I leave it a week, and I go back Saturday afternoon, like a pillock. I queue up in the shop for 20 minutes. I get to the desk. The guy goes, sorry about this. The computer's downwards. It's been a bit busy. I said, whatever you want. I want to buy this phone. Oh, we've got none of them in stock at the moment. It'll be next week before we get any more. Why can I not buy the phone I want? I want a new phone. What do you think, Ed? Exactly. Unbelievable. So why can't I buy a phone? What?
Nothing.
Go on.
I'm with you.
Go on then.
No, I'm supporting you.
Don't do your link.
Oh, it's time for our new quiz.
What?
Play the music. It's time for Who Wants to Be a Horse or Mare?
What are the rules, Dave?
The rules are you can all play at home.
Right.
And I have three different questions with multiple choice answers, and you have to try and work out which is the right answer.
Can me and Will play in the studio?
Yes, of course you can.
What about Ed?
No, he can't play.
Oh,
cue the music.
Okay. Let's go. Sorry.
Roughly how many horses are there in the world? Is it A, 250 million, B, 500 million,
right,
C, 750 million, or D, 1 billion?
I'm going to go for C, 750 million.
Final answer?
For legal reasons, that's the last answer I'm going to give you.
You said C.
Yeah, 750 million.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah! Thank you very much. Right, give Will a question. Give Will a horsey question.
Okay, Will.
Okay.
What's the smallest breed of horse in the world? Is it A, Shetland? B, Falabella? C,
Falabella Figaro Magnifico?
Shire? Or D, cart horse? Just going to recap the...
That's easy.
The options if you want.
Yeah, it's easy that one, isn't it? You know that one, don't you, Will?
Yeah. Actually, I would 50-50. I would like another
50-50?
Yes, please.
Computer, take away two wrong answers.
Yeah, take it. you take away Shire and Carp, which obviously was going to happen.
It's left you with Shetland and Falabella.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Well, you see, Shetland's technically a pony. I don't know if that counts or not.
Well, they're called Shetland ponies, but they're actually horses.
Just exactly. Pick one.
B, Falabella.
You mean the Falabella horses from Argentina?
Yes.
You think they're the smallest breed in the world, do you?
Well, I think the Shetland's the smallest breed, but I think it's a pony. A bit like this quiz.
You said B, Falabella. You're absolutely right.
Yeah! Go on, baby! What's she doing, Lizzie?
Lizzie?
Oh, she's making a tease.
She doesn't deserve to.
We'll do a couples one, you and me both.
Right, okay, yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, Lizzie, Lizzie, come on then. If you want to play, hurry up.
She can't run, she's so unfit.
Mummy, old tart.
Look, you've got an attitude problem.
Oh, here we go. Jesus, it's like you're doing a show with the wife around.
Right, off you go. Respect.
Give her the question, Dave.
Lizzie.
She starts talking in that annoying voice.
Hang in. How many different breeds of horse and pony are there in the world? Is it A, 200, B, 300, C, 400, or D, 500?
Ooh.
Horses and ponies in the world.
Correct. Different breeds.
300.
300. I can tell you.
Is that the last answer you're going to give us?
Oh, yeah, that's a bit. Yeah, is that the last answer bit?
That's my final answer.
Okay, change the music. I can tell you, if you'd said D, 500, you'd be wrong. If you'd said A, 200, you'd be wrong. If you'd said C, 400...
What did you say?
You'd be wrong.
Yes!
You're correct. It's B, 300.
Whee!
Who wants to be a horse or mare? Should we do that again?
No. Will, give me a professional producer opinion of that feature.
Load of old pony.
There you go. Phonics and step on my old size nines. Hello, Mick.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Very good. Whereabouts are you?
On the M25 coming up towards the M11 junction.
Okay, all right. So, are you in traffic or are you moving along nicely? Or
we're going about 10, 15 miles an hour.
10 or 15 miles an hour. All right. So, obviously, we've asked you to phone in. This is one of the features that our listeners came up with the other week, right?
Yeah.
Lots of people came up with just silly names for features, and today's feature is called...
Describe the person in the car next to you.
So, describe the person in the car next to you, Mick.
Well, bright ginger hair for starters.
Right.
About 19, 20 stone.
Ooh, nice.
Short little mini skirt. And she shouldn't be in a car, she should be in a dump truck.
How can you see a miniskirt from across there?
He's making it up.
I'm in my van.
Oh, you're looking down?
Yeah.
Through the sunroof?
It's not a nice sight.
And are they responding to you or not? Do they know?
She's starting to pull down a skirt or something. Oh, she's waving at me with a clenched fist.
Hey!
If she's listening, she should hoot her horn.
Ben?
Yeah, she should beep a horn if she's listening.
No, she's calling me a banker or something.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Doesn't matter. Well, that was a great feature, wasn't it?
Isn't that good?
It works really well. Bye-bye! It wasn't exactly how we planned it, was it?
Needs a bit of work,
doesn't
it? Nice
pilot,
though. It needs a sell, that's what. So I'll sell it. You ready?
Go.
Sell it, Paul.
And now it's time for... Describe the person in the car next to you.
That's better. 08700 100 100 if you're stuck in traffic and you want to describe the person in the car next to you.
In August, Macy Gray performed live to a very select audience at the Old Vic in London, exclusively for Radio 1. Now it's your chance to hear the whole gig as we present Macy Gray live. Joe Wiley, join me this Sunday from 7 p.m. for a 2-hour Macy Gray special. You'll be able to
to hear interviews with Macy, followed by the whole performance as it happened on a very special night. Macy Gray with me, Joe Wiley, this Sunday from 7 p.m.
Radio 1.
Only on Radio 1.
Oh, I love that record, Dave. I just can't get enough of it. No diggities, no doubt. It's Ludacris, Nate Dogg, and Area Code. I've got holes.
I've got holes. In different area codes. Area code. I've got holes. I've got holes. In different area codes.
Brilliant.
Radio 1.
Superman Lovers coming up next. There's Dominic and Philip with news of sport. It's 5 o'clock.
Dozens of British people search for loved ones at the World Trade Centre.
And in sport, Rangers get a neutral venue for their UEFA Cup tie.
Radio 1. News.
The families of missing British people are arriving in New York, hoping to find out information about their relatives. Britain's ambassador in Washington reckons around 250 people from the UK are missing at the World Trade Centre. A squad of police from Scotland Yard has now joined the relief effort there. Dr. Dolores Perez has been counselling people since the attacks 7 days ago.
What we're trying to do is have them focus on taking care of themselves while they're going through this process. We've had thousands of volunteers. Movie stars have come out to serve food to people. Doctors and nurses, priests, nuns jumping in and pitching a hand.
An influential Islamic religious leader has banned Muslims from taking part in armed American retaliation for last Tuesday's attacks. Sheikh Mohammed Hussein Fadlallah has condemned the airline bombings, but says Muslims shouldn't fight each other. And within the last few minutes in Washington, President Bush has thanked the people who have helped deal with the disaster.
Out of our tears and sadness, we saw the best of America. We saw a great country rise up to help. And as president of this great land, nothing made me more proud.
In other news, one of the leading experts in the human form of mad cow disease says he reckons the epidemic will be smaller than expected. Professor Roy Anderson says 101 people have died from new variant CJD in Britain. The jury in the trial of Michael Stone has been taken to the area where Lynn and Megan Russell were beaten to death 5 years ago. He denies two charges of murder and one of trying to murder Megan's sister Josie. The Bank of England's given a boost to homeowners. It's cut interest rates by 0.25%.
UEFA have had a change of heart. They've decided to switch Rangers' UEFA Cup tie against Angie Makakara from Dagestan to a neutral venue. It follows growing concern over the worsening situation in Chechnya. Sol Campbell is likely to miss England's World Cup qualifier against Greece next month. The Arsenal centre-back has pulled a hamstring and he could be out of action for 3 weeks. And in tonight's Champions League matches, Man United are the hot favourites against Lille of France. Celtic are the major underdogs at Juventus. Signed, Philip Studd.
Mostly dry in Scotland and the west of England, but it'll be windy and wet in the east. Next from us, we're live from the States 1 week after the worst terrorist atrocities in history. We report on the British relatives arriving in New York and the US chat shows helping the country to try to get back to some kind of normality. That's on Newsbeat at 5:45.
Thank you, Dominic, and thank you to Philip, the kings and queens of news and sport. Every day, bringing you the latest news and the greatest sport, only from Radio 1.
That's good.
I'm just trying to be more professional.
That is good.
Anyway, the last after news conversation we had was about a talking horse.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Well, the horse has now gone for a sleep.
Oh, no.
You know, the horses sleep standing up.
Really?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Oh.
I thought that was true.
It's food for thought.
I think it is true, actually.
Yeah. Just one leg.
What?
They stand on three legs. And
why?
They alternate. To I give feel each leg a rest.
A letter to Ariel coming on.
Can you believe that? Our producer wrote to the internal BBC newspaper. What a loser.
What's that about?
Oh, man. You know the music we had Mr. Ed on?
Yes.
Like TV themes, yeah. Right? The letters go from the letter M to the letter Y.
Hey, I like this game.
Would you like to choose a letter?
Yes, I'll have letter P.
P.
Please.
And your choice is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 or 9.
6, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, fantastic.
Good stuff.
See how long... And I think this is the record. Yeah, this is the record from the TV show. Are you ready?
Okay, go.
First person to shout it out. This is you and Philip.
Okay.
First person to shout out the name of the TV series wins a set of steak knives. Yes.
Is it Airwolf? Sounds like Airwolf.
Well, beginning with P.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I don't think it begins. Okay, so. Okay, yeah.
Contact the Power Rangers at once.
Oh, you missed it! You missed it! greatest TV shows ever made. People dressed in Lycra with helmets on. Come on! Do you remember how the words went?
No, I haven't got a clue.
Go, go, Power Rangers! You ready? Take it to the bridge! Do you want to choose a letter from between M and Y, Philip?
Can I have a T, please?
You certainly can. Would you like 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, or 6?
3, please.
1, 2, 3. No, that's rubbish.
Give 5. Me
5.
Two.
Just pick one, eh, Chris?
Okay, right. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go!
Stop!
What is it?
That's the what's that?
Too late.
Touché, away!
Touché Turtle.
It's Touché Turtle!
Hey! A classic.
You know, we're the only thing on Radio 1 right now.
Wake the horse up.
Are you missing the horse already?
I am missing the horse.
All right, okay.
Loads of questions.
Shh,
for the
everybody be quiet. Okay? Now to open the door to his stable. Oh, he's asleep. Shall I leave him? Do you want me to make the weather horse up or not?
Yeah.
Okay, right then, hang on. Let me open the door again. Wake up, Mr. Horse. Hello. Hey.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ray.
There you go. Oh, I'm going to forgot to close the door. There you go. You know, a lot of people ask Dave and I how much work goes into the show before you go on the air. And we always give them the same answer, which is, have you never heard the programme, for God's sake? What are we doing now? Are we doing the are they there? What's the, Hello, are you on line one? Hello? No, well, Lizzie's going to now tell me. What?
Everyone that I spoke to earlier is now out of their traffic jam and aren't by anyone interesting.
Lordy, lordy. It was today's great new feature.
And now it's time for... Describe the person in the car next to you.
And all the people that we phoned back are now no longer... next to anybody in their car.
No one worth talking about.
Great.
There is a way we can get out of this.
How?
Because the feature itself is actually called...
Describe the person in the car next to you.
So that could be somewhere that you're the passenger.
You know, I see.
If you're the passenger, you could phone up and describe the driver.
Not quite the same thing, though, is it?
No, it's not.
And not quite as good, it has to be said.
Yes, but then again, at the moment, this is what we have. Nothing. What?
They think there's some callers. Traffic jams.
See, now, it was a good feature, I thought. Mm. But, you know, these things, such as... Well, how about this topic?
Today's topic is... I fancy my girlfriend's sister.
Now, that's a topic that you can play with, right, as an idea... But then this one here, which is...
And now...
Well, and all that, right, is... You're building up to something that then lets you down. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Your girlfriend does, for a start.
I think you'll find it's Lizzie that's let us down.
Really?
Again.
Well, she said she's going to put somebody through right now, so all we're going to have to do is wait. While we're waiting, shall I play the theme music to Penelope Pit Stop?
That would be a nice interlude.
Help!
Still waiting, by the way.
The perils of Penelope Pit Stop! Starring those seven rollicking rescuers, the Anthill Mob, their courageous...
Hang on.
Help me, help me!
What's up?
Line one.
Oh, hang on then.
And now it's time for... Describe the person in the car next to you.
Oh, line one, hello.
Hello.
Hello, who are you?
I'm Charlie.
Charlie, where are you?
We are somewhere just come off the M6.
Okay, right. Are you in traffic?
We are in traffic, yeah, big okay. time traffic.
Describe the person in the car next to you then.
Well, they're in a big 4x4, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, and they've just, yeah, they've just wound the window down, all right. Stow away!
Yay! It does work!
Really you off.
Do you fancy them?
Do I fancy them?
Yeah.
Well, they're all quite cute, actually.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Four very hunky-looking men.
Why don't you ask if any of them are single?
Are any of you single, mate?
Three of them.
Three? 3 out of 4, that's not bad. I can handle
in
three.
In-car dating?
You know I mean?
Yeah. Are you single, Charlie?
Hey, no.
But you'd have
I've
an affair, right?
I've got my boyfriend next to me. He doesn't mind. He can watch, can't he?
Oh, there you go, Tiger. Right, well, thank you for proving that it does work.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. See, it can work. With obviously a 3.5 minute build-up of silence and playing the theme tune to Penelope Pitstop. All right, that was our amazing feature, which we like to call...
Describe the person in the car next to you.
I think we should leave it for today, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
Tony Mortimer, laughing all the way for 4 minutes. Brian Harvey in the refugee camp with Loving You. Ole, ole, ole. No, don't. Mr. Boyd Hilton of Heat Magazine is up to his old tricks again.
How is he?
Yeah. He's written in the radio highlights, and he's put some inaccuracies in here, which isn't like him, of course, just an experienced journalist that he is. You know who Boyd Hilton is, by the way? He's a guy who has his tongue lodged so far up Jonathan Ross's arse that when Jonathan opens his mouth, you can see Hilton's tongue sticking out of his throat. You know that fella, right? Anyway, his radio review, which says it's called Radio Highlights, right? Our pick of the week's radio, right? And he's got a 5-star rating system, okay? However, a show either gets 3, 4, or 5 stars, never 1 or 2. Right, so it's only between 3 and 5.
Oh, I see. Now,
the argument for that, I suppose, it's the highlights, not the lowlights.
Right.
You see? But... 606 with Richard Littlejohn on 5 Live on Saturday night at 6 o'clock gets 5 stars, as does his pick of the week, Elton John Live on Radio 2 at 6:30. So both have 5 stars and both run at the same time. So which one is it? Which one is the highlight? And how much of a highlight is it more than Richard Littlejohn because they both have 5 stars? So which one is he telling us to listen to? Plus, of course, you know, with the risk of Heat Magazine is this week's hottest celebrity news, and his pick of the week is Elton John. Now, it's not, you know, Basement Jacks or anything like that. It's Elton John. I just find that a little bit bizarre. So this is what he's put, right? He said, Jamie Thigston, Radio 1, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. What, no Moyles? That's right. As part of Radio 1 Saturday rejig, Chris has had his Saturday slot taken away from him. No... Dave, tell him.
It wasn't taken away from us. It was our decision.
Exactly. Taken away from us. No, we left. It was our decision, you numbskull. If you take your tongue out of Jonathan Ross's bottom for 30 seconds, you may be able to realise that. Get Boyd on the phone. I'm sorry, Philip. His tongue will be all numb. So then he says, could that be anything to do with the fact that he always got slaughtered in the ratings by Jonathan Ross? I haven't seen Jonathan Ross's ratings compared to ours, so how would you know that? Have you seen them?
Nope.
Have we been slaughtered in the ratings by Jonathan Ross?
Don't know.
And then he says, for Jonathan Ross's show, it says, having seen off Moyles, Jonathan faced a new challenge from Theakston. They haven't seen us off, you pillock. We left! Which is what you should be doing soon at Heat Magazine. Licky, licky, brown nose, Ross-loving, wannabe media turd. He's got a bee in his bonnet about us for some reason. And it's so... He's Jonathan Ross, obsessed. He really is. I have gone to good authority that people in that Heat office, they look at him and they call him Ross Kisser. Ross Ass Kisser. That's what they call him. How embarrassing. It's seriously, his tongue is so far up Jonathan Ross's bottom that when Jonathan kisses his wife, she can taste two people's tongues. I don't know why you're wincing, you wrote that. His tongue is so far up Jonathan Ross's bottom, he looks like a taste tester for Marmite. Sitting there writing his hoity-toity column. This week's hottest celebrity news. Boyd writes, pick of the week this week. Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson live on Radio 2 from the Button Club, Ipswich. See this copy? See this copy here?
Red hot.
Right, I'm going to roll it up. Right, nice and tight. As tight as the magazine will go. There's lovely Kylie's face. There's George Clooney. Oh, God, so much entertainment news. It's scary. The hottest celebrity news. And then I'm going to bend over Mr. Hilton, right? And see what I'm going to do with it. You know what I'm going to do?
You're going to smack him.
I haven't decided. I can't decide whether I should insert this. Insert the magazine. Or just slap him around the head with it. Either way, it wouldn't make any difference because... Why? His tongue is stuck up Jonathan Ross's bottom!
There's a new lineup to the weekends on Radio 1. Basically, it goes like this. Sunday morning, 10 till 1.
It's that Sunday morning flavour you know oh so well, where we play a bit of R&B, a bit of UK garage.
It's the dream team.
Sunday afternoon, 1 till 3. If you're nursing your head from last night or recovering from any embarrassing situations, we'd like to know about it.
Sunday morning.
Somehow, the Dream Team have managed to lose one of the most famous women in the world.
Ah, there she is. There she comes.
Sunday afternoon.
If only I hadn't switched both my alarm clocks off. Morning.
Ah, quality.
Afternoon. It's my mum with you on Radio 1.
There's a new lineup for weekends on Radio 1 from this Sunday. It's the Dream Team in the morning, Namone in the afternoon. Simple.
Radio 1. Time and a place for crap comedy. Save it for Channel 5.
Johnny Vaughan is Paul Clark. And in his first attempt at his own comedy series, he's made a big mistake.
I'm Johnny Vaughan, sharp, respected broadcaster. And I put my name to this.
Huge build-up. Huge disappointment.
30 whole minutes. No gags whatsoever.
A BBC Christmas turkey 6 months early.
I'm sorry, this is rubbish.
Terrible. Last night, 9:30, BBC Two.
Crap comedy. Save it for Channel 5. Blue and yellow, purple hills. Like the highest mountain. Once or twice, buttons counting. But nothing compares to this blue and yellow, purple hill.
D12, although you don't really care about them, it's just Eminem, let's be honest, who we're kidding. And Purple Hills, not that tell them that though, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, big dudes. Yeah,
crazy Mother Hubbards. Yeah. I take it upon myself as a public service to the listeners of Radio 1, paid for by you, the licence fee payers, that we should show off the UK's number one single this week. Now, we got a lot of emails about it yesterday going, it's not DJ Utsi or whatever, it's DJ Utsi or something.
Utsi,
is it?
Because it's got an umlaut.
Oh, excuse me?
It's got an umlaut on it.
I tell you what, I've looked at the CD cover and I didn't know he's got his umlaut at all. You can't really tell by looking. So DJ what?
Utsi, I think.
And it's Utsi because of?
I think it's got an umlaut above the O.
Wow.
I did German, you see.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Did you?
German, wow. She's a C.
Got a B.
Actually, no, I didn't. I got a D.
Oh, great.
Yeah, either way, in German, you can't pronounce that letter of the alphabet.
You're virtually fluent, then.
Oui.
This is the UK's official number one. I believe that Steve Lamacq is trying to get this guy to do a session for the evening session, which would be great. That would be a coup for the BBC.
Unplugged?
Well, you'd have to because it's bloody awful. It would be a special unplugged where it would just be 3.5 minutes of silence live from Maida Vale. They would unplug all his equipment and microphones. So it's just silence. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your fault. You bought it. This is the UK's official number one single. Take the microphone out of his hands.
Okay.
Hey, hey, baby. Ooh. the CD single, that's the radio mix. Track two is the club mix. Would you like to hear what the club mixer would sound like?
For real.
Okay. Working man's club. And track three is a completely different record called Ooh Ah. Now, do you reckon that's just the single version but instrumental?
Try it.
Ooh! I see, with this flamenco guitar, you are spoiling us, DJ Ootsie. Oh no, it sounds like a different record, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, vaguely. Record altogether.
It's
completely
different.
It's a complete
departure. Yeah. Oh, it's got the ooh-ahs
in it, though.
Winning formula.
Ooh. Ah. And that's it. It's it for 3.5 minutes.
Sounds like it.
I believe he was kitted out from the Harley-Davidson Megastore and also the Ralph Lauren shop.
If you're ever going to put two types of clothing together.
Don't forget, he's also scared of cows.
That's right.
Honestly, he went to agricultural college and he had to pull out because he's scared of cows.
Two earrings as well. Two earrings.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean?
Means he can't sing for toffee. Anyway, you bought it. It's the UK's official number one. Can you believe that sold more copies in the last 7 days than Bob the Builder?
Bonkers.
Huh?
Bonkers. Yeah.
It's time for describe the person in the car next to you. Line one, hello.
Oh, hi, Chris. Yeah, sorry, they've just driven off.
Great. We got to do some work tonight, haven't we?
We have, that's true.
Can we strike a deal that we do work up to a certain time and then go and have a few cheekies or something?
No.
Why not?
I'm not going out tonight.
Oh, okay.
Not tomorrow, remember? Tomorrow's our big night out. We're going
out. Well, you were out with our executive producer last night.
It is true.
A little gay night out. Yeah, went out for a jolly night out.
Yes.
That's what I said, yeah. What did you talk about?
What do we talk about?
Yeah.
Football, life, stuff like that.
Wow. Sounds like another really important BBC meeting there, Craig.
Hello.
Were you invited?
No.
Maybe they're planning secret big things for Dave.
Maybe.
You'd be wrong.
Are you moving on up?
No.
Really? Did Jamie Thigston try to poach you for his Saturday morning show?
No.
Hello, Jamie Thigston here, and here's Comedy Div.
Hiya.
I went to watch the football.
What, the Middlesbrough game?
Yeah, Leicester Middlesbrough.
And Middlesbrough won, didn't they?
Correct.
And the guy you were out with last night is a Leicester fan.
Big Leicester fan.
So he was delighted then.
Especially bearing in mind that Middlesbrough scored with 5 minutes to go, and Leicester should have won it.
Wow.
So he wasn't a happy bunny.
And who are the mighty Woking playing next time, Will?
Must admit, I'm not absolutely completely up to date on that.
What a football pundit you are.
I'll have it for you tomorrow.
Oh, great. I can hardly wait, mate. Tonight at Radio 1, Dave Pearce is going to be on at 6 o'clock with all the usual low-fat malarkey.
And he's got Robbie Williams on the entertainment news tonight.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Saying what?
Well, the usual stuff.
Robbie Williams always goes on the entertainment news, but he never does our show.
That's because he's locked in the cupboard.
He is? Yeah, he is locked.
Hang on.
He's not still there, is he?
No, Robbie. No, don't. No, don't.
Robbie!
You got to put the microphone to him, otherwise he can't hear you.
All right, hang on. Is this close enough?
Yeah.
Right.
Robbie, why won't you come out of the cupboard? Punchline.
I'll come out when I'm good and ready.
One more time! Hey! What do you think of that joke then, Robbie?
That's just bonkers.
That's funny every time I hear that.
Robbie, why won't you come out of the cupboard?
I'll come out when I'm good and ready.
Oh, I'm getting really tired of that joke now. One more time. Anyway, the rock show's on with Marilyn Hobbs tonight. because he's got bands on and stuff. John Peel is on at 10 o'clock. And the evening session has got session tracks from Green Day, a repeat session from Electric Soft Parade, and also the Bell Stars in session.
Nice.
If you're listening to the radio now and you're liking this song and you still haven't bought a Daft Punk album, you have no idea what you are missing. One of the best albums of the year. It's just, every track is a winner. Apart from the cover version of Steps' 5678, which is a bit ropey, but the rest, pure class. Macy Gray and Erykah Badu and Sweet Baby at Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Now here's Newsbeat at 5:45 in the States. Annie Gallagher and Peter Bowes.